How's everybody today? That is wonderful, praise the Lord. She's like, wait a second, I don't know what's going on here. Thank you, Jesus. I love hearing little feet run around. It's quite wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so today we're going to talk about how God's word is fulfilled in your life through his purpose for your life. So if you would turn to Hebrews 11, and we've been talking about the different stories in here and how faith is the evidence of things not seen. So what we're going to go over today is the story specifically. We already talked about Cain and Abel, but we're going to go through the rest of them. But I just want to read you one scripture that you probably already know that I think you should always remember. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So the number one thing when you are wondering God's purpose for your life, memorize that verse, because no matter what anyone else says or whatever is going on in your life, when you know that God has a purpose for you, everything else just kind of fades away. All of the doubts, all of the pain, all the unbelief, it goes away when you know God has a purpose for you. So wondering what your purpose in life is a good thing. Okay, so sometimes we think, sometimes we think, well, is that doubt if I'm wondering all the time what my purpose is? It's not. It's what God has put in your heart so that you will seek out the answer, so that you will question, okay, God, here I am. What do you want from me? What is your purpose for my life? I know I'm here for a reason. And it's so interesting to me how all of the scientific world, they get into this, well, you're not really here for a reason, it's just everybody evolved into something and there's no purpose in life and you just do whatever you want and live however you want. But inside of you, you know that's wrong. You know that God has you here for a reason. And it's amazing to me that of all the billionaires and the geniuses in the world, it doesn't matter how rich someone is, it doesn't matter how high of an intellectual they are. If they don't know God, even on the inside of them, they wonder why they're here. They wonder what their purpose is. I remember hearing Elon Musk say one time the reason why he wants to go to Mars and the reason why he wants to send people there is because he wonders, is there more to life than this? Is there more? I want to know, he said. I want to know what's more. And he's had the amazing thing about him is he's actually had several people minister to him and tell him the truth. So I pray that someday that his heart is open, because it honestly doesn't matter how poor you are or how rich you are. Without God, you are nothing. You have nothing. You're still empty on the inside. God wants to fill you and make you a part of his family. Amen. He wants that in your life. So let me encourage you today that by knowing Jesus, you have already unlocked a part of your life that will give you fulfillment and knowledge of your purpose. Just by saying yes to Jesus, just by saying that, you are opening up the door to God's purpose for your life, just by saying yes to him. Amen. So if you feel discouraged that you're a Christian and you feel like you should know what God has told you to do in life, that you should know what God has spoken to you, don't be discouraged, because you're there. God will reveal it to you in his timing. Amen. So Hebrews 11, and I'm going to start at verse 5. So before we talked about Cain and Abel, now we're going to go through the rest of them. And I'm going to read this out of New Living Translation. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And if you go back and look at the history of Enoch and his story, it says that he was known as a person who pleased God. Well, when you go through Genesis, it says Enoch was one of the ones who first started to seek after the Lord. So Enoch himself, he wanted to know why we were here, why God put us here. He wanted to know what the purpose of mankind was. So he sought out the Lord. He talked to the Lord. And it got so, God just, to me, I think about this all the time, is like, to me, it was like Enoch was just in God's presence so much that one day it was like the spiritual and the physical just blended so much that it was like, oh, Enoch is with God. Like he was just walked right into his presence. He was already in his presence on earth and he just walked right into his presence in heaven. And I just think that's so amazing. Can you imagine walking with God that closely? Like you, everything else in this world, you already know that God exists and you know what God is doing in this world, and you're just so close to him that you just go right into his presence. I just think that's so awesome. And then verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. And Noah is such an awesome, his life is an awesome testimony, because when God first spoke to this to him, you know, you think that it's going to happen right away. You know, God speaks to you something like the world is going to be flooded and it's going to be, you just think it's going to happen right now. But it took 100 years, 100 years of building the ark, of saying God is going to flood the earth. You need to repent. This is the end for you. If you don't repent, then, you know, so like he lived his life showing that God's word was true, and it condemned people. They were like, you know, I don't know about this. Noah's just crazy. But because he kept believing in God. Now think about that. You get one word from the Lord. One word. And for 100 years, you have to keep your faith in God. That one word is going to come true. 100 years. You know, we're in this mentality of, if I don't get a word from the Lord every single day, I don't know if I can make it. But God is like, And at the beginning of your faith, sometimes you do need that. Sometimes you need just that personal hearing from the Lord each and every day. But if you don't hear his voice for even several years, will you keep the faith? That is the difference between someone who has received a word and holds on to it than someone who seeks a new word and wants that satisfaction of, okay, God told me this today. Okay, God told me this today. If God already spoke something to you, hold to that word. Don't forget the beginning word. Amen? All right, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. And I love this because, you know, God spoke to Abraham that out of his seed, all of the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we know that his seed is Jesus. We know that Jesus has blessed us all with eternal life if we receive it. Amen. And what's also awesome is just think about how hard it would be if God promised you all of this and you had to go out into the middle of nowhere and walk and walk and travel in tents and live that way, not knowing where you're going, not knowing how things were going to turn out. but just trusting that God had a word for you. And I just want to encourage you, Jesus says that Abraham looked forward to the day of that seed. Abraham looked forward to seeing that, and Abraham did see it. In heaven, Abraham got to see Jesus go down to earth. Abraham got to see the promise fulfilled. So even though he wandered like a nomad for the rest of his life, he saw God fulfill his word in his son, and he knew that God's word was true. Amen. So you may think, well, I'm just doing this one thing, and sometimes things can feel monotonous, but keep being faithful. Amen. All right, verse 11. It was by faith that even Sarah, who was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. And I especially love this verse because I feel like God gives to each person that specific word that he knows will keep returning to them. So imagine Abraham every night looking up at the stars, knowing, okay, that's what God spoke to me, that he would give me descendants as the stars in the sky. Or every time he would walk on the dusty ground and all of the sand would be at his feet, he would be reminded, that's what God spoke to me. My descendants will be like the sand. I can't even count that. None of us can even count that. And what's amazing is for the nation of Israel, during that time, all of these nations that were against Israel, there's not very many of them left. But Israel still stands. The people of Israel are still here. And it's also amazing to me that this little bitty nation, how much, like God said, that out of this little nation, the whole world would be affected. And is it not? What do we see more often in the news than any other nation is the nation of Israel, because it has impacted the world because God said it and his word is true. Amen. All right, verse 13. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Isn't that awesome? And that's how I feel. No matter, like, even in this earth, like, I know God has a purpose for me. I know that he put me here for a reason. I know he did. But at the same time, I long for heaven. I long for the presence of the Lord. I long to be with him. And I don't want to be there without my family. So I'm just staying faithful because I want to see my family someday. Mandy will have children, so I want to see her family come to the Lord. I want to see her family serving the Lord and coming to heaven with us. I want to take everyone with us. Verse 17, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. And I want to pause right there. So, if any of you have seen the movie His Only Son, it is so awesome to me. It's about Abraham offering his son Isaac, and it's how God needed to know that Abraham could offer his son because someday God was going to offer his only son. And so it just the whole movie is really incredible because it points out how even when Abraham messed up, even when Sarah was like, I can't have kids, take Hagar, have a son with her, I can't have children, even then, Abraham never gave up on the word of the Lord. And that's really important because all of us, we may think, oh, I would never do that. I would never do what Abraham did, or what about David? I would never do what he did. All these mistakes in the Bible, but don't we all make our own mistakes every day? We make our own mistakes, or we listen to the wrong voice of reasoning, and someone will try to convince us, well, I know God said that, but what if this is the way that he actually wants it done? When God speaks, listen to his voice. Amen. Verse 21, it was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. And I specifically love this part because here Moses' parents, all of the people in Israel, the Pharaoh at that time was killing all of the boys in Israel. And they saw that their boy was something special. And I know that, for us as parents, we look at our children and we're like, oh, this one's special. Like, oh no, no one has a baby like this baby. This one is special. And then you have another one, and it's like, oh no, this one's special. Sometimes we joke around, yeah, they just thought he was special. All babies are special. But they specifically knew that there was something unusual about this child. And I just think about like Joseph and Mary when they had baby Jesus. He was a normal baby, but they knew that he was a son of God. And I know that there is something that's in us that we see in the spiritual, as Christians, we see in the spiritual something different that people don't see. So I know that Moses' parents, they didn't see him as just a child that could be taken. They knew that God was going to save him and use him for a reason. I just think that's incredible that they saw that. Verse 24, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin, or in other words, the riches of Egypt. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. Verse 27, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. This is one reason why I love this translation, because this verse is something that we all need to keep in mind. I'm going to read it again. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. And isn't that amazing? How can you keep your eyes on someone who's invisible? How do you do that? You do that by faith. When you are walking by faith, you don't go by what your physical eyes see, you go by what your spiritual eyes see. Amen. Verse 28, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. Verse 29, it was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what an awesome testimony of Rahab. You know, she heard of these people, Israel, and she heard of their God. And I wonder quite often if she would hear the fear of the leaders. You know, and I don't mean to get too descriptive with this, but Rahab as the prostitute was probably with so many men and probably nobles as well, hearing their fear of this Israelite nation. And it's amazing because that was for 40 years, because during this time, Israel was wandering in the desert. And this whole 40 years, Jericho lived in fear. The people of Jericho lived in fear, hearing this nation of Israel, all of these things that happened in Egypt, now they were coming to their town. And so it was constantly being fed. And so Rahab was hearing all of this all the time from person after person. And instead of taking a hold of that life, she started to believe this God must be the God. This God must be the Lord God. If he delivered a people, I want to be that people. And what's amazing is, you know, in the Israeli nation, if you were a prostitute, you would be killed. But not only was her life spared because she was faithful to save the spies, but she became part of Jesus's lineage. She became part of the seed that goes directly to Jesus. I mean, isn't that incredible? I mean, what a testimony. You could say that your great 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 grandmother was a prostitute, but she chose God. She chose God. I mean, isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter, you know, what background we all come from, or even what we come from ourselves. If we trust and believe in God, God can use us mightily. Amen. All right, verse 32. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons, and some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. And if you aren't familiar with that, Isaiah was sawed in half, long ways. That's how much the people of Israel hated their prophets. They hated him so much that they sawed him in half. And then it goes on to say, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people, verse 39, earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. So each one of them, they played a specific part in our history. They fulfilled a specific purpose that God wanted so that he could bring about Jesus at just the right time. Amen. And that's what I want to encourage you today. So I'm going to go through these different pointers because when you know your purpose, when you know why God has put you here, that is an incredible turning point in your life. When you know that you're not just here just to be here, but you're here for a specific reason, you're here for a specific people, when you know that, it really does change your life. Amen. So the first one is make Jesus the Lord of your life. And I know that kind of sounds simple, but a lot of times us Christians, we will receive Jesus and that's good enough. A lot of new Christians, they like the thought of receiving Jesus and they say, "Yes, Lord," but then they don't make him the Lord of their life. They still hold on to different things that are pulling them into this world, and they still hold on to distractions and cares of this world. Just like in the parable of the sower, there's different types of ground that the word goes on to. And the good ground is what produces the harvest. And the other ground where there's thorns and thistles, the other ground where it falls on hard ground, and it doesn't receive anything. You have some that come up quickly. They sprout up quickly and they're like, "Yes, I want to serve the Lord." And then when the persecutions of this life come, they say, "No, thank you." And their faith wilts away. And that is the very first thing. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Amen. Number two, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. When you say yes to Jesus, you surrender your whole life to him, every single part. You pick up your cross and you say, "My life is nothing without you. My life is everything for you, Jesus." And it may not seem like much, but you give it all. You pick up your cross and you are crucified with him. Amen. Our faith is not a game. Our faith is not just a fad or a trend that comes and goes. It's eternal. It's the faith that has lasted generation after generation after generation. There is no faith in the entire existence of the world that has lasted like our faith. That's how you know it's real. From the beginning, God established it, and people have believed in God because he is real. We have all of these other religions that come and go, and some that have mimicked Christianity and made it seem like they're just like us, but they're not. Amen. Without Jesus, nothing else matters, right? You must make a choice in your heart that you will either serve God or serve the world. You must make that choice. I can't make that choice for you. You can't make that choice for me. Each one of us stands before God individually. The next one is have an open heart for what the Lord speaks to you. And if you aren't sure if it's the Lord, you do two things. Number one, you compare it with God's word. If it is confirmed in God's word, then it is God's word. Amen. The next thing is you talk to mature believers and you say, "This is what God spoke to me, and this is what the word says. Do you believe it's God?" And most of the time, if they're a mature believer, they will say, "If God's word says it, it's true." Amen. So keep meditating on what God has spoken to you. If it is the Lord, it will be peaceful. When God speaks to his people, he quite often tells them not to be afraid, because sometimes when he wants you to do something, it can seem not only impossible, but a little fearful. It can seem like, "I don't know about this, Lord. This is really big," or this is a little hard. "I don't know if I can handle this." And that's okay, because you can say those things and not lose your faith. Just like when the angel came to Mary and the angel said that she would conceive a son, and she was like, "Well, how is this going to happen? Because I'm a virgin. How is this going to happen?" And he says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." It is okay to question God when your faith is in him. Now you have the other side where Zechariah, same angel goes to Zechariah and says, "Your wife will have a son." And Zechariah is like, "How will this be?" But what it is Zechariah didn't have faith like Mary had faith. Zechariah didn't think it was possible. So he was questioning the word. And that's amazing how you can say the same thing, but what God sees is what's in your heart. Amen. The next thing is be obedient to the first word. Quite often, Christians do not like the first thing God tells them to do. So they go to different pastors and ministers and want them to pray for them that they would hear God's purpose for their lives. And when they don't get the answer they like, what do? They get offended and they walk away from God. Some of them. Quite often this happens. God's purpose is not confusing. What is confusing is when we try to suppose what God wants or try to figure out the unknown because we don't know the details. We don't need to know the details, right? When you get in your car to come to church on Sunday, do you open your hood and do you look through all of your engine and find out how does that work? How does that get that spark going? And how does this fuel get in? Do you do that every Sunday, every time you get into a car? No, you don't. That would be silly. Well, just think about every time God tells you to do something, sometimes you need to banish those thoughts of wanting to know the details. Amen. You don't know how the engine of the Lord works. You don't know, you can't go into the mind of the Lord and know his mind. You don't know. So trust that he is going to get you to where he wants you to be. Amen. Let's see. Lost my spot. Okay. I, in my own walk of faith, have realized that God's opinion is the most important. Amen. I went through life trying to please people and fulfill their plans and purposes for my life, and it always left me feeling disappointed, feeling heavily burdened, feeling like I wasn't good enough all the time, like I was always trying to get others' approval in my life. Yet, even in that hard part, even in those hard times, I knew that God had a purpose for my life. I knew he told me to be faithful, so no matter what anyone else spoke to me, I was going to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. So that's the next part. Be faithful and keep the faith. And I'm going to read some scripture to you. Hebrews 10, you can just write these down. Hebrews 10, 35 through 36 says, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised." Amen. So take a hold of that word. Do we all like to be patient? No. I don't know if anybody likes to be patient. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Long ago. Long ago, God had you in his heart. God loved you and still loves you. Amen. It's just like when someone has a baby and that baby is growing on the inside, that baby doesn't know how much you actually love them. You know, they feel your love and they feel it, and then you have them and they feel your love, but they don't actually know. They feel it. But they don't actually know and recognize that until they're older, that that is what love is. They just feel it. Amen. And that's what we need to do. We may not understand God's love for us all the way, but we need to just trust that he loves us. Amen. Take a hold of his love. Patience is key to keeping your faith in God's word. Sometimes he will give you a word and it will take many years to be fulfilled, just like Noah, 100 years. But it is so worth the wait. Amen. When we get impatient and want to try to fulfill God's word on our own terms, that is when we open the door to pain and hurt, not only to ourselves, but to others in our lives. Amen. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for my husband. Quite often I think about how much he waited, how long he waited, and he didn't give up on me. He knew that I was to be his wife. He knew it, and he was faithful to wait for me. Was I faithful? No, I was not. But that is how strong love is. Amen. God does the same for you. He knows that you are his child, and he will wait for you to say yes and make him Lord of your life. He will do the same for you. Amen. All right, the next point. Keep right relationships. For every one of us, we have all kinds of relationships in our lives. We have spouses, we have families, we have children, we have bosses and coworkers and different people in our lives. All of them are going to speak either life or death into our lives, either blessings or cursings. What are we going to receive? We need to make sure that we are careful what advice and counsel we receive. You know how amazing it is how everyone wants to tell us, even me in this pulpit right now, I'm talking to you. Everyone wants to tell us how to live our lives, you know? And sometimes we get to where we listen to so many voices that we don't listen to God's voice. Amen. No matter who is speaking to you, even Michael and I in the pulpit, keep an open ear to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Test every word with the scripture. If it doesn't line up, don't think twice about it. Forget about it if it's not doesn't line up with word. Everyone in your life will want to give you a say-so on how they think you should live your life. But let me keep it simple for you. Only God actually knows your future. No one else does. Okay? Stop trying to make everyone else happy. It will only leave you miserable. Have you ever tried that? I know I've tried that. And it really did. It does leave you miserable. You're trying to please so many people, and in doing that, one will get mad at the other, and someone else will get mad at here, and it's just a confusing mess of chaos. All right, the next point is God is the only one who knows what tomorrow holds. So whether you think you've received good or bad counsel, what matters is what the Lord says. You may think it is good counsel, but actually it could be leading you astray. On the other hand, you may think you have heard bad counsel, and what it actually is that you don't really want to do what God is telling you to do, so you take it as bad counsel. Be careful that you do not let your flesh decide your future. Take heed to follow your spirit. Amen. And the last one, set your eyes on the future, not the past. Past sins, past mistakes, past failures can all hinder you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. It's time to let the past go. Amen. Not just for your freedom, but for the freedom of your family. Don't let self-condemnation destroy God's plan for your life. If you mess up, repent and move on. Let it go. Amen. Trust that God is the one who brings supernatural change in your life. When you realize that it is God who changes you and not your own power, it will bring freedom in your life. Stop putting pressure on yourself to try to change your own life. I know I tried to do that. Give it to God. He created your heart. Don't you think He knows how it works? Don't you think He knows how to heal it? Don't you think He knows how to give you direction? When God speaks, it is solid. It is real. Amen. So take a hold. Whatever God has spoken to you, let that be the first word that comes to mind. Amen. Don't let anyone else try to steal that word that God has given to you. Amen. Because the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've said this before. The first thing that he does is he steals God's word out of your heart. Then he can kill and destroy you. Do not let him steal God's word out of your heart, right? All right, you can go ahead and stand and we're going to pray. I just want to encourage you, if you need prayer, maybe God, you don't know God's purpose for your life. Maybe you're questioning whether God has spoken to you or not. If you need prayer, I'm always here to pray. But if you want Michael and I to pray for you, please come back to the sound room afterward. We are always happy to pray for you. Amen. And I want to encourage you, do not give up. Do not give up. Amen. God, He did put you here for a reason. God put you not just here where you are, but even just this moment, you being here in this church, in this moment, is God's purpose for your life. He is speaking to you right now what He wants you to do. Amen. So we're going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do thank you. We thank you for your purpose. Lord God, we may not understand each and everything that you have spoken to us, but just like Abraham, we are going to step out in faith in Jesus' name, just like Noah, Father, who waited for 100 years for that word to be fulfilled. God, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, to have ears to hear what your spirit is saying to the churches. Lord, help us to be faithful, to be alert when you are speaking. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us as we go through this week and as we go through our lives. Let every decision be made by your perfect will. God, we thank you, Lord. We lift up those who are hurting in body, those who are sick, those who are needing help in their minds. Father, we pray that you would deliver and set free those who are lost in Jesus' name. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.